Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Professor's Inn podcast. I'm Dr. Karen Kelski of the Professor's Inn, and I'm delighted you're here with us today. Before we get started, I want to make sure we thank our sponsors, and those sponsors are you, the listeners. You make it possible for us to keep the podcast going. And if you would like to become a supporting member, please go to bit.ly/ourpod. That's bit.ly/OURPOD. And for a mere $3.99 a month, you can basically support the ongoing recording of this podcast and the payment of our editor who makes it possible. Thank you, Stephanie Blair, our wonderful editor. So, yeah, bit.ly/OURPOD.
And just to add to that, if you have not listened all the way to the end of our podcast, please do so, because we have a whole bunch of information about the amazing work that Stephanie Blair does. So check it out. Hi, everybody. Kel Weinhold of the Professor's Inn. Glad you're here today. We're going to talk about how to get your priorities straight for the summer. But before that, let's introduce
Dr. Karen Kelski of the Professor's Inn. Glad that you're here. Excited to talk about how to approach the coming summer. Mm-hmm. Very, very weird summer. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the pandemic.
Right.
But not really out of it. You know, none of us really, are we in it? Are we out of it? Can we travel? Can we not? Where is safe? Where isn't? What is safe? What isn't? I don't know. It's all very confusing.
It is. And that's what we were talking about today, is that the sort of last summer was the chaos of entry, where departments randomly demanded free labor from you, and you, for the most part, acquiesced. And I've been advocating with the people I work with to take comp time all through the year. Like, don't go to a meeting, don't do this, mm-hmm. to make back those hours. But then we had the long century that was the school year,
right? The long 2020.
The long 2020, 2021,
right.
Where I'm pretty confident that people's regular practices of everything kind of went to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
Working.
Eating, living, walking, breathing.
Everything. Sleeping.
Sleeping. For sure. Right. Everything sort of went south. And now here we come into a new summer, mm-hmm. where I know from talking to people that the bells are already clanging from administration about what needs to happen this summer to prepare for a fall opening. Mm-hmm. So first of all, just a little bit of advocacy here. Here's your email in case you don't have it written for yourself. Thank you very much for that information. I'll be happy to work on that when my contract resumes.
I love it. I'll be happy to work on that when my contract resumes. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yep. So as they're starting there, like, we need to, mm-hmm. do you want to, blah, blah, blah.
Are you available for, what time should we schedule this meeting? Yeah.
Nope. I'm happy to work on that when my contract resumes. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And then have them deal with it.
Yeah. And they'll throw a fit, but don't, you know.
Yeah. Just persist.
Persist.
Quietly.
Quietly. Quietly and without escalation.
So, with all that in mind, we got to talking about how do you, when things have gotten so off kilter from your normal pattern, how do you get back, how do you sort of get back to some semblance of, I don't know, practice or ritual around your work this summer if you choose to work? And if you choose not to work to make mm-hmm. up for all the time you have, you worked all last year, and you decide, I'm taking this time off, go for it.
Yeah,
that's absolutely my number one advocacy, is just thing. Take the summer off.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and I talked to somebody today who is in one of the groups I coach, and saying, take the summer off. And she said, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to take Mondays off. Mm-hmm. So just take Monday off then, mm-hmm. but think of some days to take off. But anyway, that's aside, as usual, on a different track. But we want to talk about, how do you get those priorities back in line? That's what we're looking for now.
Yes. And if you're anything at all like me, it's overwhelming.
Right.
The overwhelm factor is just overwhelming because that's pretty much my motto. The overwhelm factor is overwhelming.
Right.
Because it's too much. I mean, well, we already sort of did the list, but it's like, well, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're exercise, your kids, your relationship and friendships and travel life, and that's not, and I haven't even started in your research, your writing, your submission.
Right.
and dealing with your students or whatever. I mean, should they need, you know, whatever during the summer. It's just, it's a lot. And so if you think of all of it, it's a little bit like you always say, don't look up the hill.
Right.
This is really, really a don't look up the hill.
And just to scenario. Be clear for everybody, when Karen's saying don't look up the hill, what I talk about when you have a hard stretch and or you have a thing that you got to do that's it's big lift is in running, when you run a distance and you have to run up a hill, the last thing you want to do is look up the hill. If you're running and you look up, it's like, no, I'm not running up that hill. So you kind of look at your feet or the next thing in front of you, right? I'm going to look at that mailbox. I'm going to look at that tree. I'm going to look at that rock. So you just keep setting the short goals, just so people know what I'm talking about. But, and I also think, though, to put a finer point on the overwhelm of the overwhelm, I feel like people are overwhelmed with what is not working, right? So they've developed, they have habits that have gone, that they're not like they were before. So their habits have, either their positive habits have shrunk, their negative habits have grown, and they try to figure out how to fix all the habits. Like, well, I know I'm not sleeping well, and I know I'm not writing enough, and I know I'm not eating the right food, and I know I'm not working on my book, and I know I'm not grading my papers when I should be, you know, could be grading my papers. So it's like all you see is this, you know, shotgun array of things that you are beating yourself up for, or that you have quote unquote failed to do.
Right.
Forgetting it's a global pandemic, and the fact that you got up every day or most days you're here. If you're here listening to this, congratulations. Mm-hmm. That was the point. So to my mind with that, the first step is to get your set your priorities. If you took that whole list, what's the thing, what are the three top things you want to do? What are the three things that you feel are important? Which then begs the question, how do you decide what's important?
Right. So how do you decide what's important? And that really gets at looking at the bigger goal.
Right.
What did we call it earlier?
Your big picture goal.
The big picture goal. That's right. The phrase I was looking for. Yeah, because in some ways, for example, stuff around teaching, like you might know that you're going to be teaching a hybrid class next fall or a new class or whatever, and you're like, I really, really need to prep for that class. Big picture goal would be, you know, if you're on the tenure track and you're trying to get tenure or you're trying to get a job or whatever, you know, that class is not going to be the key to it. It's not going to be the key to your tenure. It's not going to be the key to your getting a job. And so that has got to be pushed way down on the priority list.
Right.
And the thing that has to be pushed up is going to be a peer-reviewed journal article, basically, or finishing your dissertation or some type of writing / publication.
Well, and I would even put big picture goal as, you know, if you have a tenure-track job, tenure. If you're a graduate student, you know, completing my PhD, like if you're on the job market, doing X number of things toward a job and or until I switch to a different option. Mm-hmm. But they're big global things that your priorities for the summer can move you toward.
Right. And let me say one thing. I want to make sure this is really important to me. We're talking about a big picture goal, and we just gave a whole bunch of classically academic examples, and I know a lot of our listeners are working in that model, but it may be that some of you have the big picture goal of being gainfully employed in some capacity, and you are totally open to the idea that it might be non-academic, and consequently, given the realities of the job market and the post-COVID job market, academic job market, you might decide that your number one priority is finishing that peer-reviewed journal article for the academic job market, and your number two priority is doing three informational interviews every week with people who work outside the academy. And those are going to be your two goals, because your big picture goal is gainful employment.
Right.
It might end up being outside the academy. So you're going to push those forward together. I really want to honor that choice, and I want to encourage everybody to consider that choice.
Right. So if your big picture goal is to be gainfully employed by some period of time, then when you look at the list of things that you feel like are not operating the way or have become the challenge, let's call them that, challenges that have increased during COVID, you're not going to take on all of those challenges if your big picture goal right now is to be gainfully employed. Mm-hmm. So you might not even, like, say, let's say one of your challenge, one of your things that has gone a little bit south for you is maybe you have a watch of some sort that keeps track of your step or pedometer or whatever. And you were walking 10,000 steps mm-hmm. every day prior to the pandemic, right? And now you've got like 133 steps and you're, that's a thing that could really bug you mm-hmm. because it's gotten way off. The question is that one of your priorities if your big picture goal is to be gainfully employed by X period? It may mean that this isn't the time
right.
that you're trying to get your step goals in because you're no longer walking back and forth across your office,
right.
like at work, and you have to go get food here. Mm-hmm. You just have to go from, you know, you're in your one bedroom apartment. You got to go from your chair in front of your bed to your refrigerator and back.
Right.
So just giving yourself the grace to say, that's not part of the priority I'm picking right now. So one of the things I want to challenge people to do is to make that list and just go ahead and sit with it and then pick the three challenges mm-hmm. that you feel like tackling that will move you toward your big picture goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, and that could be, you know, I have not, I've stopped looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It could be I've stopped working on my dissertation and I really do want to be on the tenure track market just for 1 year. I want to try it. But in all of this, I just stopped writing.
And to give another, just in the same general gist of what I did before, interject how I interjected before, drawing from the very dynamic dialogues on the Professor Is Out private Facebook group, there are a lot of folks whose big picture goal is healing from the abuses of the academy. And so for someone like that who, and you don't really necessarily know when that's going to happen. So for some, it might be summer. For some, it might be winter. Who knows? But let's just say this is when it hit for you. And all of a sudden for you, it's like, no, I'm actually going to take up a self-care practice
right.
of walking
right.
5 miles every day or 3 miles or 1 mile or whatever, 20 feet or whatever every day, because that's part of my saying I matter.
Right.
And my health matters. And that's a reclamation. And so that's a hugely important goal. And I really want to encourage people to, again, we are really ecumenical on what goal you decide to prioritize. It's just, and not all of them are academic.
Right. And I'm realizing as we're talking about this, we keep talking about walking and steps and that sort of thing. And, you know, I realizing for myself, I don't measure steps because I really, due to some issues with my knee, I don't walk. There are plenty of people who don't walk, who mm-hmm. aren't getting steps, but there are other things that they do as their physical self-care. Mm-hmm. So also just broadening that idea. But, mm-hmm. but I think that kind of gets to what I think is interesting about that. And I'm so glad you brought that up because it also kind of brings up this idea of how something that doesn't seem to have anything to do with the big picture can be so critical to the big picture, mm-hmm. right? So you can say, you know, my big picture goal is to finish my dissertation. That's my big picture goal. I want to just be finished with it. That's what happens after that is, but it's important to me to finish it. Mm-hmm. You could see how you could make, well, here are the three challenges in the way of my finishing this goal. You know, I'm not writing, my advisor is this, and I can't get to the archives, right? Those are my challenges. And so you may focus all your attention on how to get to the archives, how to get your advisor to answer you, how to write 75 hours a day without interruption, forgetting that, like you said, the 5-minute self-care routine, the breathing that you forgot to do, the journal writing, the yoga class, the whatever. So your sort of stressors around movement or well-being, you think, oh, well, I have to put that off mm-hmm. so I can go write this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful, too, that you don't make all your priorities output.
Right.
Right? That you're not. So if I said to you, okay, here's the practice. Name your big picture goal.
Mm.
That's one side. Now go over here and list all of the challenges that you've been through this year and that you feel like are getting in the way of that big picture goal. Now, pick three of those challenges that you would like to take on and try to deal with this summer to move toward that big picture goal. You and I know, both know academics well enough that how quickly they will become about what they produce.
Yes.
Rather than, so we're challenging you, think bigger.
Oh, I see.
Think bigger than write 3 hours a day.
Right, right. In other words, allowing the yoga to be part of the writing the dissertation.
Right, right. That it can be mm-hmm. part of the goal. Mm-hmm.
But knowing that you can't solve, I mean, we have been through a global catastrophe.
And are in.
And you can't solve it all. You cannot. There are going to be things left undone. There just are. They're going to be, I don't know how else to put it, but just you can't fix every problem mm-hmm. that now exists as a result of what we've been through this and are still in over this past over a year and a half. So, and that's not counting what happened, you know, with Trump and all of the trauma around that. So, yeah, it is quite a selective editing process of that list. If right. I can really only tackle these things.
Well, and I guess my big goal here for people is to try to figure out this summer how to work with reality rather mm-hmm. than against reality.
Yeah.
Because I think we've been trying to fight it all year. And I think people's realities are splitting right now. And they I don't are. Mean in the sense of like every, you know, each person has five different realities. What I mean is I remember when the U.S. was at its worst, at its peak of infections, and we had 3,000, 4,000 deaths a day. And everything was spinning wildly out of control. And we had a leadership that was acting like it was not a problem. Mm-hmm. And we were seeing other countries get their shit together. Mm-hmm. And we were going in the opposite direction, right? So now I'm thinking of all of our listeners and scholars in India and who study India and understand that right now they are where the U.S. was mm-hmm. in the peak of our mm-hmm. summer nightmare. Mm-hmm. And how destabilizing it is to look across an ocean or yeah. across a border and say, wait, we live next door to Canada. They seem to be sort of keeping it together. And we're losing the equivalent of 9/11 every day. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other thing, like to the scholars in India and from India and who study India and who have friends and family, don't like careful not to fight reality sure. of you have a tremendous stress.
And all of your, you know, American colleagues are sitting here bopping around saying, yay.
I got vaccinated.
I got vaccinated. I'm going to go to the beach. And, you know, so, I mean, it's probably unintentional, but it's definitely a kind of gaslighting and it's trauma. And so, yeah, that's really important. But, and I'm so glad you brought that up and I really appreciate it. And it's also not just necessarily, I just feel like it's also on a slightly less momentous scale. Some of us are doing research where it's completely opened back up. The archive's available.
Right.
And then some of us are doing research where it's as inaccessible as it was a year ago.
Yeah.
And so it's complete, and so we don't have a shared narrative anymore.
Right.
I mean, even to the extent those of us who did, and we never all did, but let's say that, you know, generic, whatever group of people that we were all in a certain degree of crisis together, now it is really splintered and fragmented.
Right.
And I think that that's also isolating and also drives up the imposter syndrome where you're like, well, oh my gosh, you know, Janet has booked her ticket to go to wherever to get her work done, but I'm still stuck. I can't get to my field site in India or my field site wherever.
Right. And so, and I think also, even the coming back in the fall, we're going to make it in, because this is what we do in the U.S., we're going to make it into a shared narrative of returning to the classes full in the fall, and we're going to forget all the variations in that, all the different experiences over the summer of the loss of the, like, I think of how many people I work with, family that they've lost, jobs that they've lost, mm-hmm. things, I mean, students that they've lost. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go back to the classroom all the same or all whole. Mm-hmm. So this summer, that's sort of why I wanted to do this podcast about, like, identify the challenge. Don't fight reality. Mm-hmm. Identify just a few challenges you want to work on. Mm-hmm. If you identify three of them and one of them seems stressful, dump it and pick a couple that you can kind of just chip away at and just practice reclaiming those. But if we try to reclaim everything, mm-hmm. we're going to put ourselves under this the same amount of stress again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep trying to make this not what it is.
And yet with far, far fewer resources right? and resilience to do it, because right? we've been battered and bruised, and I'm a person, I was raised by parents who were children in the Depression. They were so traumatized by that Depression that it shaped them all through the whole rest of their lives.
Right.
And I feel that there's going to be a way that those of us who went through this are shaped by this for the rest of our lives. I don't know how, but I just want to make sure we give space to allow that to emerge and not like beat ourselves up for it, because right. it was truly traumatizing.
But can you imagine, though, the messaging? I can imagine the messaging from administration, but I can also imagine the internal messaging. And I don't even have to imagine it, because I talk to folks every day, mm. so I hear it. This sense of, we're making the turn, mm-hmm. and now I should be acting like and operating like and doing everything I did before. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be like I was before. I'm going to work yep. like I did before. I'm going to act like I did before. And that's what, this is our hand waving as the oncoming train. Karen and I are out here with the big mm-hmm. red flags going, wait, 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 wait. You have a lot of things that got knocked off.
Right.
So just take a deep breath. Find a couple that you can kind of chip away at this summer and count those as wins.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is not going to miraculously start again.
Well, I am looking around our house and seeing all of these piles of things that have just, because life just went to shit is all. It just did. Right. And like, we couldn't stay organized. We couldn't get stuff put away. We just got defeated and like disorganized. It became very, very difficult. It was like swimming through peanut butter, and there's all these piles in the various corners of the house, and I look at them and I think, why are they there? And then I remember, oh yeah, because of a year of trauma,
right?
That's like, why they're there,
right? Oh wow, we need to order filters for the HEPA filters, because spring is coming and the allergies are bad, but the smoke season's going to get here and we need to get them before they're out of stock. Okay, we got them, and they're stacked in the living room, because right. They have to go into the filters, but that's a lot. Right. So they'll get
executive
there.
Function is right. damaged.
So,
okay.
Because we don't want to keep it's always that fine line, right? But like, we want to acknowledge how hard it is. We don't want to discourage you to the point of now you've crawled under the bed and said, never mind. But so here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Pick three challenges. Pick three things that you've started to do that you're not so happy with, right? Regular writing practice. Maybe that's it. You know, movement. I don't care what it is. Pick three. Of those three, take the most stressful away. All right. Now you have two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now pick the one that you feel like this summer will move you toward that larger goal.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one. And tackle that. Just see the different, and if you try to tackle it and it doesn't work the way you tried to do it, resist the urge to say, that's because I'm a screw up or I'll never get this right, and say, well, whatever system I just figured out didn't work for me. So nothing wrong with me. My system wasn't great, so I need a new system. Mm-hmm. Just keep pulling the levers. Just keep switching levers until it's like, okay, I've started to reclaim that. And I think that then we could go off into a whole unstuck stuff about SMART goals, but we won't do that. But I'm just mm-hmm. saying, easy, easy, easy. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the point of.
Yeah.
We could have done a whole podcast that just said, take it easy.
Yeah. And I guess we didn't say this at all, except in the beginning, we said it's fine to take the summer off. But I hope, and I'm saying this to myself as well, but I hope that we really do get some rest and yeah. we really do step off this hamster wheel, because it's just not worth it.
Well, and as if for any of you who've ever run on a treadmill and had it turned up too high, or for whatever reason, if you've run on a hamster wheel, but
they're very small.
Well, in Ashland, Oregon, in Lithia Park, there used to be a giant wheel, like big barrel thing that was,
my gosh,
and you could run in it.
Oh my gosh!
And one time, a friend of mine decided to do like that David thing, spread out hands and like and spin around in it. But of course, she got up upside down and fell down and hurt her shoulder and neck. But don't do that. But I'm just saying, you have that experience of running and things get, you know, have you ever pushed a merry-go-round around and then it starts going too fast and you can't keep up and you have to jump onto it or fall down on the ground? If we don't slow down, we're going to end up in the hamster wheel, you know, or that treadmill that just flings you off the back, right? So I think it's slow down. Yeah. Pick a couple. Easy, easy.
Indeed.
Well, that's our message for today, folks. You got a whole bunch of shit that's gone sideways. Don't try to tackle it all at once. Pick three things that move you towards your goal. Then throw away one of them. Then look at those two and pick the one that causes the least stress. Do that with ease and take as much time off as you can this summer.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. One last note here. This podcast is made possible every week by the exceptional work of our editor and producer, Stephanie Blair. If you happen to need audiovisual work, be sure you go check out baddieblair.com, BaddieBlair.com. And also, I encourage you to check out her phenomenal home decor and apparel designs, and you can check those out at chochochen.com, chochochen.com. As always, Stephanie Blair, we are grateful for your incredible talent. Thank you.